Understood is a resource I have recommended for many years to parents looking for support with learning and thinking differences such as ADHD, dyslexia, and more. And I'm subsequently excited to tell you about their podcast, Understood Explains. This season, the show is hosted by teacher and special education expert Juliana Urtube, and it's all about how to navigate individual education plans, also known as IEPs. They cover topics such as how to tell if your child needs an IEP, common myths about special education, and the difference between IEPs and 504 plans. I love how Understood Explains breaks down the overwhelm by unpacking an important topic each season and then drilling down further into key basics in each episode. Most episodes are between 10 to 15 minutes, and episodes are available in both English and Spanish. So fantastic, right? To listen to Understood Explains, search for Understood Explains in your podcast app. That's Understood Explains wherever you get your podcasts. Hello, friends, and welcome to the mini edit from Edit Your Life. In these snack-sized mini-episodes, I answer your questions about everything from self-care to parenting to relationships to home and more. Think of me like that friend you text or call when you need a quick piece of compassionate and candid advice. Send me your questions. Today's question came after I posted in Instagram stories about my poster board calendar system. A listener wrote, "Do you share your process somewhere or link to this calendar? I'm gearing up for the same as school starts back up and always love looking for ways to improve my system. I love the idea of looking at 3 months at a time." Another listener wrote, "Do you use separate pieces of paper or one big? I still write everything out too, but in a weekly format, and we have our digital family calendar, but loving this quarter planning, so much power in writing it out." Here's the backstory on the calendar situation in my house. I used to be the holder of all the calendar things, and for as long as I can remember, I have been wed to my Google Calendar. But I had two basic problematic issues. First, my primary co-calendar holder is not a Google Calendar person. They are a paper planner person. And second, my kids did not use Google Calendar, though I will say it is exciting that Laurel, at age 19, just recently has gotten on the Google Calendar train, which is very fun in terms of the efficiency of syncing up about things like her college breaks and travel. So, not surprisingly, things were falling through the cracks. And the other problematic issue was that because I was very committed to plugging things into my calendar, a couple of things happened. My basic calendar was just clogged with work things, with family things. So anytime I opened it, it was just very overwhelming. And color coding was not helping me. It was adding to my overwhelm. There was just too much to look at. And also, I didn't like being the main holder of the keys to the castle with the calendar. So at some point, John suggested some kind of centralized calendar. And we did think about a few different options. I had seen and loved the idea of a whiteboard calendar for reusability. A friend of mine had a big expanse in her kitchen area where she had like a long rail with three panels for 3 months. It was very beautiful. It was like a whiteboard on rails system from Pottery Barn or somewhere like that. But we don't have the space for that. We also tried a magnetic fridge whiteboard calendar, but it was only 1 month at a time and just got kind of smudged and messy as we were in and out of the fridge. And then I also tried 8.5 by 11 sheet calendar printouts, but that was also not satisfying in terms of size. And so we ultimately tried a big poster board calendar in which we would actually draw out the calendar boxes and discovered that we can see 3 months at a time and look at our time in terms of quarters of the year, and we have not looked back since. We'll be right back. This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. Do you struggle with boundaries and the general complexities of peopling? Relationships are necessary to our well-being, and some relationships are just, well, complicated. A good chunk of the work I have done in therapy centers on relationships, how to own my part of the story, how to let go of relationships that are toxic, and how to navigate challenging relationships in a way that doesn't drain me. And all of this work helps me show up better for myself and also as a partner, mom, friend, family member, and business owner. If you're thinking of starting therapy, check out BetterHelp. This online therapy platform was designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists anytime for no additional charge. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/edit today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/edit. As you know, I value stories and the connection that the sharing of stories can bring so much. And if you're looking for a gift for Mother's Day, check out StoryWorth. StoryWorth is all about celebrating and preserving stories. Every week, StoryWorth emails a loved one of your choosing a question prompt that you pick. For example, how did you decide when to have children? And what was your mom like when you were a child? Your loved one simply responds to the email with a story of any length. You will receive copies of these emails, and after 1 year, StoryWorth compiles the stories and any photos provided into a keepsake book. Funny enough, I was just chatting with a neighbor who told me that her mom gifted copies of her StoryWorth album to immediate family members, and literally everyone was crying, in a good, loving way. I loved this example because while yes, StoryWorth is a great gift between a parent and kid, in this case, it was a gift from sister to sister that then was shared across generations. Give all the moms in your life a unique, heartfelt gift you'll all cherish for years, StoryWorth. Right now, save $10 on your first purchase when you go to storyworth.com/edit. That's storyworth.com/edit to save $10 on your first purchase. Let's get into the how-to with the quarterly calendar system, which, as I think back, was very organic in development. So the poster board was the anchor, and I knew that the poster board needed to sit in portrait mode because the one space we had for this thing to hang was on the door to our basement, which is in our kitchen, and having the poster board up in horizontal orientation wouldn't fit. So this dictated the size. And then a standard poster board is about 22 by 28 inches. So this meant that my week view, I had 22 inches in width, and I could at a maximum have a space for 7 days across at 3 inches across. So 21 inches total in 22 inches of poster board space. And then in terms of the height of the boxes, I didn't think we needed a square size per day. So that would have been 3 by 3 inches. And also with 28 vertical inches in play, that would mean we'd only get 9 weeks. So I decided to try 2-inch high boxes, which would give us 13 weeks on a 28-inch poster board. So basically, the way the calendar plays out is I draw on 7 days across by 13 weeks down, and each box is 3 inches wide by 2 inches tall. And I measure out and draw the boxes with a black Sharpie, and then we used colored Sharpies for marking in the dates. Now, this might sound a little onerous to draw it out, but because this is a quarterly calendar system, actually a smidge more at 13 weeks, I only do this like 4 times a year, and it is actually a tactile, not difficult, and very satisfying project. So, some thoughts about the results. Seeing our schedule in seasons or quarters is so great for holistic planning. I personally have been trying to get better at looking more long view to think about our family system's pace. And this view really helps us in a way that scrolling through my Google Calendar month by month is just not going to do the same thing. Meaning, where do things look chaotic and where do we need to trim? Or where do we have breathing space for a family adventure? I do want to note that you can start doing this anytime. You don't need to align to official quarter 1, 2, 3, and 4 of the year. Just based on the way it works to replace the calendar every 13 weeks, we are currently aligned with the traditional quarters of the year, but it hasn't always been like that. We've just shifted over time gradually. Another note is that I also usually make the next quarterly calendar when we are about 3 to 4 weeks to the end of the current calendar because we appreciate the long view so much. So when I do this, I just take down the old calendar and with a pair of scissors, lop off the past weeks. And then I hang the remaining weeks of that old calendar over the new calendar, which means at a maximum, sometimes we have a 17-week runway in front of us, which is pretty great. A few of the benefits. The big one is I am no longer the keeper of the calendar. Everyone can look at it and see what is happening. And we started that with our girls very early on. So they got used to looking to the calendar and figuring out what day it was and what was happening. It's also a fun activity to decorate with younger kids. When Vi and Laurel were younger, they would decorate the margins of the calendar with stickers and drawings. And even now, they don't decorate the margins, but there are so many moments of kindness. And one of the fun things is decorating special days like birthdays, school breaks, when Laurel is traveling home with Sharpies in fun colors. And finally, an added unexpected bonus, since I am so very committed to this quarterly calendaring process, we always have poster board in stock for other school projects. I hope this was helpful. And if you have a question for me, please drop me a line at edityourlifeshow@gmail.com or DM or comment on a post on Facebook or Instagram at edityourlifeshow. Thanks for listening.
No one told us the truth about parenthood. Why? This is the podcast everyone needed before they had kids, because now that those little ones are here, whew, there is a lot to unpack. I'm Rachel Shepardota, and I am your host for the podcast No One Told Us, where we tell the truth about parenting and let you in on all the stuff you really should have known about before having kids. I am the founder of Hey Sleepy Baby, but this podcast is so much more than sleep. We'll be diving into all the topics that you really care about and need to know while you do your best job raising those adorable, tidy humans. Our goal is to just make you feel less alone and less overwhelmed. There are so many things that no one tells us before becoming a parent, and I think that we should really pull back the curtain on becoming a first-time or second-time mom or dad to share the good, the bad, and the ugly. We'll have a little education, a little fun, and a whole lot of heart that goes into each and every episode. So join me and our amazing guests each week to hear us talk about what no one told us.